It's our Sunday evening service for April 19th. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3. So we got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. And then, so it's the book before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 17 through 21. So here's what the Bible says. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd open our understanding tonight, that you would remind us as Christians the responsibility that we have to, as we talked about this morning, to be reconcilers, to be ambassadors for Christ. And as Ezekiel talks about here, to be watchmen for others, to give them warning, to help them see their sin, to help them see their need to come to Christ. So I pray that you bless your word. I pray that you would bless us as we hear it preached now. And again, Father, I pray if there's anybody listening that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray during this time they would see their sin, they would see the Savior, and they would come to him. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to go back and I'm going to use part of the Easter story to speak to Christians. As a Christian, we need to remember and realize that we're here for a reason. Jesus said when he walked the face of the earth, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When he left, he commissioned his followers, which includes us, that to have that same mission, to go and seek those that are lost and to bring them to Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those are some of the favorite verses that Christians have, because those verses remind us that God loved us and that he loves us. And because he loved us, it caused him to give us a gift. And his gift was the only begotten Son who died in our place. And God did that not because we deserved it, but because of his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And the key that unlocks that grace is faith. And so, for by grace are ye saved through faith. As we mentioned this morning, Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved. And once we get saved, we're a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. All things become new. But verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us of something else after we get saved, after we get in Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Matthew 5:16, again from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God created each of us as individuals, and he created us for a purpose. God did not wait until we were born and say, okay, I've got to find something for that person to do. I've got to find a purpose for that person's life. No. Before God caused us to be born, He already had a purpose in mind for our life. He already had a job in mind for our life. And we were born. I mean, I say often that we were created by God just the same way that Adam and Eve were. Now, I don't mean that he took dirt from the ground and made us and took a rib and made somebody else like he did Adam and Eve. But in the same way that he was responsible for Adam and Eve coming into existence, he's responsible for us coming into existence. People say, well, no, God wasn't. I was born. My mom and dad bore me as their child. And that's true. You were born by a father, and a mother and a father. But if God did not want you to be born, you would not be born. Your life is a direct result of God wanting you on this earth. And he wanted you on this earth because he created you or made you for a purpose. And again, Matthew talks about purpose about doing good works. About doing your good works so the people can see it and they can see your Father and give him glory. They can see your good works and come to Christ. And so our responsibility, our job, is to work those works that bring glory to God and to point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. So you see, I have a choice. I have a choice whether to do those works or not do those works. And each of you, as a child of God, has that same choice. You can choose to do the works that God made you to do, or you can choose not to do those works. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus told the story, true story, in all probability, of a father that had two sons. And the father had a vineyard, and he wanted his sons to go work in his vineyard. And he asked one to go, and the son said, okay, I'll go. But he never went. Never went. The father asked the second son, and the second son said no, but he decided afterward to go. And so both of those sons had a choice. They were asked by their father to do a work, just like God, as our Father, asked us to do a work. And they had a choice whether they were going to go work or not. We have that same choice. Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And again, as Jesus was leaving this earth, he gave a commission to his disciples and to all of us that follow in their footsteps. He said in Matthew 28:19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In Mark 16:15, the Bible says it a different way, but it's still the same commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so our responsibility, as Jesus left it to us, is to take up the cause or the mission that he came to earth for. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we have that mission, to seek out those that are lost and to point them to Jesus so that they can be saved. So we have a choice. Are we going to be obedient to those commissions? Are we going to be obedient to the purpose that God made us for? Are we going to be obedient for the job that he's given us to do? Now, I want to go back to the Easter story and look at a man that had a choice in that story. Of course, I'm talking about Pilate. Pilate had a choice. What should I do with Jesus? Should I give in to the crowd that's screaming out for me to give him to the soldiers and to have him crucified? Or should I let him go? Do I order him to be killed or do I save his life? Pilate had that choice. He had that authority. He said in John 19:10, then saith Pilate unto him, unto Jesus, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee? Yes, Pilate, you had that power. But what choice are you going to make? What decision are you going to make? Remember, Pilate's wife had a dream and sent word to him and said, hey, don't have anything to do with this just man. And Pilate agreed with his wife's judgment, so to speak, of Jesus. In Matthew 27:19, the Bible says, when he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And after Pilate examined him, he agreed with his wife. He says, this is a just man. I find no fault in him. So it was a just man, a man that and that was innocent, a man that they were calling for Pilate, not only calling, but demanding that Pilate put to death. And Pilate knew that he was just. Pilate knew that he was innocent. Pilate knew why he was there. And Mark, Pilate said this, for he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. An innocent man, a just man, delivered to death because of the jealousy and the envy of the high priest. So what would Pilate do? Just like we have to make the decision whether we're going to go work in Jesus' field. Just like we have to make the decision whether we're going to be obedient to his commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature. What decision would Pilate make? And as Pilate made his decision, we ought to look at our own decision. What are we going to decide to do? You see, Pilate tried to get out of making the decision. He tried to give the decision that he had to make to the priest and the Jewish council. In John 18, verse 31, to the priest, Pilate said, take ye him and judge him according to your law. I don't need to make this decision. You're the one that wants him crucified. You take him and judge him by your law. And we know the record. The priest had come back and said, oh no, Pilate, we demand that you make the decision. We demand that you be the judge. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. And by our law, this is what he deserves. He deserves to die because he's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be the Messiah. He deserves to die. And so, Pilate, you can't push the decision back on us. You have to make the decision. Pilate tried again. He heard that King Herod was in town. Luke 23, verse 7. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Pilate said, oh, I don't have to decide. The Jewish king is here in town. I'll send Jesus to Herod, and Herod can make the decision what to do with him. In that same chapter, Luke 23, verse 11, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught, mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. Herod said, oh no, I'm not going to decide. Not so fast, Pilate. You're the Roman governor. I'm just a Jewish king. You're in charge. You have to decide. Pilate tries again. He tries to get the crowd to decide. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 17, Pilate goes to the crowd. He says, hey, at the feast of the Passover, there's a tradition that the Roman governor gives you the choice about a prisoner to be freed. I want to keep that tradition. I want to keep that custom. I want to give you a choice about which prisoner to free. Should I release Barabbas, which was a thief and a murderer that was supposed to be crucified that day between the other two thieves? Would you that I release him, or would I release Jesus, an innocent, just man? Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And the crowd cried back, we want Barabbas. If you're going to keep the custom, if you're going to keep the tradition, then release unto us Barabbas. And Pilate cries out to the crowd, well, what do you want me to do with Christ? And they cried back, crucify him, crucify him. And in verse 24, of Matthew chapter 17, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. Not so fast, pilot. You tried to get other people to make the decision. But when it came down to it, you made it. You turned Jesus over to the soldiers to be crucified. You tried to wash your hands and to say, hey, this man's blood is not on my hands. But Pilate, yes, it is, because you made the decision. Now, we have a decision to make. Are we going to go work in God's vineyard? Are we going to go work in the fields that are white for harvest? Are we going to obey the commissions that Jesus gave his disciples as he left this earth? People still need to know Jesus. There are people in our day that still need to hear about Jesus, and they're waiting for someone. They're waiting for Jesus, one of Jesus' disciples, to tell them about him. And so, going back to Ezekiel, we've been set up as watchmen. We've been set up to deliver the warning to sinners that says, hey, you're a sinner. The penalty of sin is hell. And you're headed to an eternity apart from God. You're headed to an eternity in hell. And I, as one of Jesus's disciples, I, as one of Jesus's followers, have been set up as a watchman to warn you that there's a way out of that sin. There's a way to escape the penalty of that sin. Now, we can try to get out of it like Pilate did. I mean, we can say, hey, somebody else can do it better than I can. Let them do it. If I try to point somebody to Jesus, I'll just mess that person up. They'll be worse off if I try to witness to them if I just keep silent about it. Or we might say, hey, it's not the right time, or it's not convenient. There's Sunday school teachers that can do it. The preacher can do it. It's their job. And we try to get somebody else to do it. We ignore the commission. We ignore the purpose that we were made. We try to wash our hands of the job. We try to wash our hands of the responsibility. We try to wash the hands of our calling. We try to wash the hands of why we were created. And Jesus, through Ezekiel, says to us, hey, this is why I made you. I made you to go to that person and be their watchman, to warn them about their sin, to warn them about hell, to warn them about eternity. If they die in their sin and go to a godless eternity, they'll go there because of their sin. But their blood will be on your hands. Because you see, it's our choice. It's our choice to work or not work. It's our choice to go or not go. It's our choice to talk about Jesus or to be silent. We can choose not to go, but there'll be somebody's blood on our hands that will be required at our hands, because that's why God made us. That's why God put us here. And so we as Christians, and how important it is at this time. And I know, you know, we don't get out and be with people. We don't run into people like we have done in the past. But there are still ways to share the gospel. I mean, you can talk to people on the telephone. You can talk to them on social media. You can send them a letter or a tract. But there are all people that we know that are not in Christ, that don't have his salvation, that need to hear about the Savior. And we have a choice to go. We have a choice to witness. We have a choice to be that ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now, if you're hearing this message and you're not saved, let me be your watchman tonight, or whatever time you're listening to this message. You are a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. And again, not spiritual death, not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God forever. That's the penalty, the wage of sin. But God loved us so much, He loved us so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that son went to a cross, and on that cross paid the penalty, paid the price for our sin. So that God's able to offer to us a gift purchased by Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so God offers to each of us that gift of salvation. And if you will believe that, again, if you will believe in Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and receive the gift of salvation that God offers to every person, then God will save you from the penalty of your sin. He'll make you part of his family. He'll make you a citizen of the kingdom of God. He'll reserve a place in heaven for you. And if you haven't done that, I invite you to do it right now. Simply pray, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty of sin, but I believe that you died for me. And right now I'm calling out and asking you to save me from my sin. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that every person that hears this that doesn't know Christ would make that decision. I pray that they would call out to Jesus and get to salvation that you offer to every person. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that have heard this. I pray that you would remind us of our responsibility to be an ambassador, to be a witness, to be a reconciler, to be a watchman, to warn people that there is an eternity. And apart from Christ, they will be in an eternity without God forever and ever and ever. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would remind us, encourage us, chastise us, whatever you got to do, for us to be faithful to the calling of God. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.